Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 39. I'm Janice Cunning.
And I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon.
And I'm David Langiuli. And today, Michelle and Janice, we have a very special guest joining us on the podcast, Lupe Delina. Lupe is a good friend who I met through some work with Landmark. Introduced herself to me and my wife, the lovely Lillian, when I was in the communications course at Landmark, and we've stayed connected ever since. And it turns out that Lupe is a financial services expert with the World Financial Group, which is owned by Transamerica. And Lupe, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everyone. Hi, David, Janice, and Michelle. And thank you so much for having me in this beautiful of a podcast, and looking forward to unfold it together with
yeah.
you.
So you wrote a, we talked about the nonprofit world, which is our audience, Lupe. And one of the things you and I talked about is that they're really, for many nonprofit, for professionals in the nonprofit world, there aren't a lot of resources for them around sort of financial literacy and getting their financial house in order. Many of the people in our audience work for smaller or medium-sized nonprofits where they may not have a lot of options offered to them by their employer. And so you wrote a blog post that addresses financial literacy, especially for early career nonprofit professionals. So why don't you share a little bit about like the two things that you talked about in the article?
Okay, great. Thank you. So in this article, thank you first, David, to care about your audience, especially for young career professional in the nonprofit organization, for your caring. So this article we co-created in the background, understanding the importance of financial literacy. Even though you mentioned that they may not have too much options through the organization as to practice their finances, but I think they can begin with, everyone can begin with, is understand the importance of how money works. So in the article, I talk about two points. One, how can you leverage the money using through insurance to protect your financial foundation, especially early on, you don't have a lot of money to build up because you just begin your career. But however, you know, for young professionals, you may into already starting a family or maybe into a near future. And the plus on that side and the responsibility very important. And so using insurance, pretty much like using cents to a dollar leverage, so you can protect yourself with that regard of responsibility for your loved ones.
Yeah, so that's yourself. Yeah, so that's insurance. So one thing I find people may not think through is, you know, especially when you're early career, you kind of think you're invincible and, life insurance, I don't need that. And disability, I don't need, I'm perfectly healthy. And health insurance, oh, who needs that? And, you know, so you mentioned in the article that it is a way for earlier career professionals to leverage, like for very small amounts of money, you can insure against some catastrophes that might happen in your life. So say a little bit more about why that's important.
Yeah. That's definitely. See, for young, you know, generation, we always for that age, right? It's very inconvincible. So we may take some risk of, driving very super sports car or whatever, or the car accident happens. And we had quite a few of young people had that disability happened in a short period of time because of accident. And so we had insurance in place. What provide them a adequate finances to taking care of the medical bills where they are rehabbed and without work. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. Another thing, how to prepare, even though may not say the accident happened to you, we don't want that happen, but sometimes the body does has its own way of a strike we do have some young people, and they had attacked by the internal viruses disabled from like down, mm-hmm. very young age. So that's disabled for 9 months. Because yeah. of insurance in place, we're able to, you know, rehab and also without a loss of the capacity to pay the medical bills. So yeah, I think that's very important.
I'm thinking
so without
about
without insurance, there's a sense that something can easily derail us in our young life that can have huge impacts for many, many years forward. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. it's sort of like putting on our armor early on in our career so that we're ready to move forward and nothing can devastate us financially too much.
I'm thinking about Lyme. I'm thinking about Lyme disease. Like I was just with somebody yesterday who's got Lyme disease. I know other people. I mean, you just get bit by a tick. And next thing you know, you've got this very debilitating disease that takes a lot of time and therapy to set your body back on a course where you can go back to work. So, you know, during this time, you need to have some income. Yeah, and have all those procedures covered.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And also one thing I want to share is sometimes, you know, we have a hard time to stand for people, especially they refuse. Oh, you know, I don't need insurance. I had this particular occasion 2 years ago. This lady I got met and, you know, through a couple of encounters. After a while, and I you know, reach out to her about the importance of protecting yourself as plan well. And she said, I'm too busy. I don't have time. So 2 years forward, I said, let me take a look what, you know, reach out to her, how she's doing. And turned out she diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And she has no savings and no job. And plus at the time, her family relationship wasn't really in the position, even great to pay the medical bill for her treatment. So in that situation, I wish I had stand for her and really forward, you know, if she has some plan in like a protection with on his life, they have the critical illness protection around that situation. Mm-hmm. In this like cancer situation, she can easily, you know, settle down the death benefit in turn lump sum for her critical illness situation where he have money to cure his cancer. So that is something, you know, in life very important to consider.
Well, what I'm hearing from you, Lupe, is that there, for the audience, is there, you know, the insurance can be very complicated, especially if you don't know much about it. There are lots of different types of insurance. There are lots of ways of protecting your family, yourself, and a good someone who has a lot of knowledge and experience with this, like you, could be really helpful. So toward the end of the podcast, we are going to have you share your contact information with folks in the audience. And I know you're very generous and open and want to help people. And we're going to encourage the audience to reach out to you to talk through some of these. Is it really a complicated landscape? Before we get there, there was something else you wrote in the article called the Rule of 72, which I love. Now, let's not get real complicated with the math because the people are like, oh, the Rule of 72, I can't do math. So, but the thing about the Rule of 72, it's a really simple math formula. So why don't you share that, what the Rule of 72 is all about?
Absolutely. Actually, Rule of 72 has been claimed as the eighth wonder of the world. Actually discovered by physicist Albert Einstein, and in financial services, we are education, we're using Rule of 72 is 72 divide interest rate, and the result is the years for your money to double. For example, right now, if we have, like people put money in the bank, at 1%. So if we 72 divided 1% and equals 72, this means if the interest consistent at 1%, it's going to take me 72 years, mine to double.
So well, I don't have 72 years for my money to double. What is 8%? How long does it take?
8% will be every 9 years, right?
9 years, wow.
That's much better. We feel like we can get on board with 9 years.
Yeah. Exactly. So here's the difference. I can give you a scenario. For example, if you have three people as age 29, each have 10,000 in hand, right? And one had 4% interest to grow his money, and the other one have 8%, and which is the third person have 12%, right? So the mathematically is that one person going to, at age of 65 going to wound up 40,000, and at 12% the guy going to wound up 640,000. You can see the difference, $600,000 difference, right? So I'm always saying that the person got 12%, and all along he doesn't have to do anything. His money working really hard for him. Well, I get a 4%. That person have it working, like say, 20 years at a $30,000 salary to catch up the $600,000 difference, and that person is working hard for money. So
Yeah, I loved some, you know, a few people have commented on your blog post, Lupe, and we'd love to hear some more comments. And, you know, I love that people were saying it's very simple. You know, you're talking about very small amounts of money when you're young. You know, it doesn't have to be intimidating. And like David said, like people can reach out to you if they need help figuring out even where $10 a day or, you know, something like that's going to come from. But it's like really using the time that you have. And I think people are really resonating with what you wrote because it's accessible. And, you know, somebody said, I loved, like, I'm going to share with my own child because I wish I had known this in my 20s, right? So I think you're taking a very complicated kind of concept and giving us a really powerful way of understanding it. So that's really resonating with our readers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll share a personal story. I was very fortunate, like lucky, like the goddess of fortune shined on me. When I first started working, I had a friend who, and I was looking and I was, you know, not making a lot of money, but some money was coming in. And this particular individual, he was very financially savvy, you know, and so he started investing, and then he said, you know, you should consider just setting some money aside and investing it. At that time, you know, he suggested Vanguard. There are lots of good organizations out there you can invest your money. You know, Lupe, you work, you know, you represent one of them as well. Transamerica has been around a long time. So but getting started early was so huge for me, and I just kept doing it. So now, like, I'm in my 50s, and I can see that I will, even though I'm still working with Janice and Michelle and we're still earning money, I can see, like, I'm not going to outlive my money, you know, for my lifetime. So this is so important to start early, right?
Absolutely, David. You know, you have to give lots of thanks to that person at early age, tell you so. That's why you enjoy an oceanfront condo, right?
It's true. I would not be, like, this is not braggadocio, that I was not only, you know, investing in financial instruments, but also in real estate over my adult life. I was able to live in a condo by the beach now and do the work that we do with nonprofit leaders. It's true.
Well, and part of what I hear you speaking about too, David, is it felt scary at the time to start investing. But once you're in the pattern of saving and investing it, then it's just like another thing that you're putting money away for every month. It doesn't feel as big. So it's that courage to start something and somewhere. That's so important.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Michelle. It's all about a habit, because there's a relationship we have with money. And that is so much habitual. We even don't know what our habit is until we realize, wow, what I has been doing with money. So that's why I'm so passionate about this. What I do is at early age, we can catch ourselves into a good habit so we can form and grow a fortune for ourselves. And this also stems into, sometimes I met older people, they ask me after share the information with them, they said, where were you 30 years ago?
Well, here you are today, thankfully for the audience, you're with us today. And what if you could give the audience one thing to do, Lupe, what would it be based on this conversation? What would you challenge them to do?
I would challenge them to start saving as much as you can, the first thing. The second thing, only buy things you need, what you want, until you're financially free. If you can look inside of your life, if you cannot save $10 a day, challenge yourself, save $5 a day. Mm-hmm. And look at where can you save. Maybe you can cut down the soda or coffee. Or not too much Starbucks.
We're about giving the audience big challenges. So I'm going to actually have you make it very specific for them. So what is your challenge? What are you challenging? Is it $10 a day? Is that what you're challenging them to do?
Yeah, for young generation, you know, we're talking about the young, you know, professionals, at least $10 a day.
Okay.
So we challenge them to do put away and if they give you 8%, or I mentioned in 30 years, you can adequately accumulate close to $500,000, right? Okay. So that's my challenge, consistently as a habit and diligently never waiving that $10 a day of saving habit.
If they don't know how to make that happen, because some people will say, well, I just don't have it, which we know that's not true. That's just a story, right? Or if they don't know what to do with it once they're saving it, how could they? You're very generous, and this is like what you're up to in the world, is helping people do this. So how could they find you and talk to you and connect with you?
Oh, thank you, David. I'll be really happy to talk to them. So here's my number. And then everyone, welcome to reach out to me anytime. Either call me or text me. So number is 561-512-7158. Again, 561-512-7158. Or you can email me at L like Lucy, P like Peter, C like Charlie, H like Helen, 555@gmail.com. And so I'm looking forward to all your inquiries, or you want to extend more conversations. And that's my passion, to inform you and empower you with the financial literacy so that you can build a solid financial for life, not only for you, possibly for your next generation, the impact passing down.
Great. And we will link to your website, Lupe, in the show notes. So if anyone didn't manage to catch the email or your phone number, then they can reach out to you there. And so I think it's, I just want to invite people, if you haven't already read the blog, go read that, because it kind of unpacks these two rules a little bit more and gives some really practical examples, which are nice and inspiring. And thanks, Lupe. This is a new topic for us. We were excited to have you as an expert come on and talk about this. It's a little more maybe holistic and full career focused for our listeners, no matter what positions they're in nonprofit organizations.
Well, thank you so much, Janice. And also thank you, David and Michelle, all of you, to provide this opportunity so I can be here to share some information and also create possibilities with audiences. So together, we can make a difference to shift the culture, so eventually we become financially in every way abundant, so we can be betterment of the life and of the world. Thank you.
Nice. Thanks. All right. So before we go, we just want to remind you to please subscribe if you haven't done so already to our podcast. And you can find us on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify. And so remember, the challenge is to save a minimum of $10 a day and follow rule number two and invest that money for the future. So we're going to say, go put that into practice. Goodbye, everyone.